Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Some of the earliest pioneers in Texas were not the ones that quickly come to mind, like David Crockett or William Travis. Texas history goes far beyond that, to the indigenous people who inhabited the region for thousands of years. Today, we're focusing on the Spanish explorers, the missionaries, and the descendants of the people who inhabited New Spain and Mexico, who came to be known as Tejanos. The San Antonio-based organization Texas Tejano has dedicated the last 25 years to share research, stories, and histories of the Tejano men and women who shaped the state of Texas. Texas Tejano founder and president Rudy Rodriguez says his passion for Tejano history grew from his South Texas and Hill Country heritage and the accomplishments of a previously unknown ancestor.
So I come from a ranching family in Medina County, Texas. My grandparents and my great-grandfather were refugees during the 1910 revolution in Mexico. They were from San Luis Potosí, and so my grandfather found employment with a large ranch in Medina County. And so as little boys, my older brother and I would go to the ranch, and it was in the 50s when TV was just coming on board, and we had our first black and white, and we got a chance to see all of the Roy Rogers and Kit Carson films, if you will. And so once we would get to the ranch, it was kind of, let's reenact this. And actually, we thought we were really living the dream or living the frontier experience in those old houses that were there. Certainly when we went hunting for conejitos and rabbits, we thought, you know, we needed to be mindful of any lurking Indians in the woods and all the sights and sounds. About a 2,000-acre footprint. It was all brush, native, virgin soil, provided us with that experience, if you will, of being in the 1800s. So that's really, it was the spark beginning my interest as I went to school, and really the later years of my college years was when architecture played a role, and that's part of my background. And so historical architecture helped me bridge my own innate sense of what was it like back then and what was our roles. And certainly my grandfather was a big role model, and he was a big guy and strong and very independent. That began to give me the sense of who Tejanos were, ranchers, independent men. And so the need to continue research, if you will, or begin to research, led to the Euro colonists that came to Texas in the 1840s, 1850s from places like Poland, Germany, Austria, Bavaria. And I fell in love with the Texas Hill Country. And so I began to visit the little towns of Fredericksburg and New Braunfels and Greene and Sisterdale, on. And that continued fueling the fire of my interest in Texas history, if you will. So that continued for a period of almost 10, 15 years, I guess. But it's about 15 years later now, and I'm ready to write. I'm ready. I have some drafts. My project was always to write about that history of those early colonists, which I was prepared to do. And I believe it was in 1999, and my parents were always after me, knowing that I had an interest in history, that I go to a family reunion, the Rodriguez reunion. And interestingly enough, it was in Bandera, Texas, back to the Hill Country. It was back to my history roots, if you will. And certainly there was hundreds of people there. My tias and tios, my aunts and uncles were there. And they began to talk about this this one Tejano, an ancestor, Jose Policarpio, Poli for short, Rodriguez. And they began to say that he was, of all things, a Texas Ranger, and that he had been a scout and guide with the U.S. Army, and that he was a judge, and he was a county commissioner, and then he became a minister, and it went on and on. And it just, as they say in the 60s, it blew my mind. I couldn't believe that a Tejano, would have been all of those roles and fulfilled and contributed in those professions. And so I thought they were just cuentos of my tías and tíos, stories. And so it launched me on what I call a research odyssey that hasn't finished yet, because it's been like 25 years now. I began to do research. You know, genealogy research, if you will, is one thing, but doing historical research is another.
Right.
It's two things. In genealogy, you're finding your family tree, and you try to go back as far as you can and who's in it, et cetera. In history research, you want to document the events. You want to document what occurred plurally, if you will, and who else is involved in that historical experience. And so as I really began to find documents, it's like hitting an incredible home run at Yankee Stadium. It just fuels you, and it just, you want to find more and so forth. So Polly, as he was called on the Texas frontier, his legacy was, it was incredible. I'm still finding historical facts, factoids, if you will. He's mentioned as a principal explorer or surveyor with the Army. So yeah, he's a scout and guide, but what did he do other than scout and guide? So Polly is responsible for finding good sites near good water availability, native building materials, trees or limestone, etc. And then also knowing where the Native Americans are, especially the ones that are hostile. So that's his role from 1851 to 1855. After the forts were built, the U.S. Congress puts into play what's called Second Cavalry, the Second Cavalry of the West, which is going to be a new cavalry unit. It's a light cavalry unit, and Second Cavalry comes to Texas, 10 companies. They're led by the likes of Colonel Albert Sidney Johnson and a young Lieutenant Colonel Robert E. Lee. Polly's role then becomes one of a combat guide and scout. And so Polly's role becomes one that he's posted to a place called Camp Verde, Texas, V-E-R-D-E. And there he's to lead the troops in hot pursuits, in trying to parley with the Indians, powwow with them, if you will. So the many engagements, hostile hot pursuit engagements, and Polly's leading those engagements and engaging with them. So he begins to be known as an Indian fighter. So in 1858, a few years later, he receives a presidential citation from then George F. Pierce, President of the United States in the 21st Congress, I think it was, for his combat gallantry and valor in a hot pursuit and engagement with Lipan Indians along the San Geronimo River in Bandera County. So once again, he defines in the military what special forces are all about. And here's an individual, Polly Rodriguez, who's also armed to the teeth like they were. He had two sidearms holstered. He had two sidearms, 5-shot repeaters. He had what they call the golden point, a 30-30 rifle, if you will, now Winchester, at the saddle, a shotgun in the back, a Bowie knife in the back. And so he was, as they say, armed to the teeth.
Rudy Rodriguez is president and founder of Texas Tejano. The group marks its 25th year of highlighting the history of some of the earliest Texas inhabitants, those who called themselves Tejanos. When we come back, tracing Tejano history to the 1600s.
General Alonso de Leon comes with the authority to create a new province. During a high mass celebrated in Matagorda Bay, he declares La Provincia de Texas. So Texas begins at that moment.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The story of Texas mostly focuses on the Texas Revolutionary period. Many Tejanos played a part in that story, including politician and former San Antonio Mayor Juan Seguin and José Antonio Navarro and José Francisco Ruiz, who were among the signees of the Texas Declaration of Independence in 1836. Rudy Rodriguez, founder and president of the organization Texas Tejano, had an early fascination with the history of Texas, including its European heritage, like its German, French, and Czech roots. His fascination with this history led to discovering his own Tejano heritage. Rodriguez says he took a deep dive into discovering where Tejanos originated.
Tejanos were here 150 years before the Battle of the Alamo occurs. And that's a history. I'll try to be as brief as possible to give a sense of origin. When it's in 1690 that it's discovered that the French have made incursions into Texas, the northernmost province of Nueva España, New Spain. So in 1690, after numerous expeditions to discover the French, General Alonso de Leon comes with the authority to create a new province. During a high mass celebrated in Matagorda Bay, he declares La Provincia de Texas. So Texas begins at that moment. The first settlers then become the soldiers that are stationed at the first presidios that are built. The missions begin by the Padrecitos to Christianize the Native Americans, and more importantly, the first towns, or the villas, if you will, as they were called back then, will accommodate the first families, the families of the soldiers, if you will, because they can't live inside the fort. So the first civilian communities begin. The development of Texas and exploration is in the east of Texas, along the Sabine River. The first missions, the first forts, and the first capital is in Los Adayas, which is about 35 miles into present-day Louisiana. That's around 1690, so we reflect on where do the Tejanos come from? Well, they come from the neighboring states of Coahuila, Nuevo León, and Chihuahua. So you build a place, you plant crops, you raise a family. You've created the place where you live, and where you live is what you're called, and they're going to be referred to as Tejanos. So Tejanos are here for almost seven generations. Fast forward to 1835-36 in that revolution, I believe that Tejanos were fighting for an independence. They were fighting for their land, for Texas. They weren't fighting for a new beginning. They weren't fighting to see if they could get land for the first time, or start a community, or start a religion, or start a language, or start the cultural fabric, if you will. It already existed, and what they were committed to was to continuing that. And it wasn't the first time. It wasn't the first time. In 1813, there had been an independence movement successfully in that year, created a constitution and the first president. Unfortunately, it was short-lived from early spring to the late summer in August when you have the Battle of La Medina. Many families were killed just for having participated, men and women, even though there was 1,000 Tejanos lost at the Battle of Medina. So I believe, getting back to, you know, why and how Texas Tejano has championed or decided to champion, it's that story that has not been told. There's many pieces, many families, many heroes, Tejanos and Tejanas, that are part of the story, and it's rich and it affects us all. We knew that we needed to focus on education. In Texas, fourth and seventh graders are taught Texas history for the first time. And we knew there was an absence in that. So we focused on that. Then we tried crafting a teacher's kit that would have a teacher's guide and a student book and primary documents, posters for the classroom and the school, et cetera. And we authored books along the way on Tejanos, and not just on Policarpio, as we were talking about earlier, because we had identified some of the heroes of the Texas Revolution, both in 1835-36 and in 1813, and some of the founders and families and ranches and so forth, and on, and also in the valley with all the wonderful families and histories that are down there.
You have the Tejanos, and I'm referencing the Texas Revolution, the Tejanos who are fighting for independence from Mexico, and then you have the Texians, or the ones that we're familiar with, Davy Crockett, Travis, Bowie, all of the others.
Holy Trinity.
Yeah, that's right. And we're learning now, or it's becoming more publicized, that the real reason that the Texians want independence is to expand slavery into Texas. Texas, when it was a part of Mexico, did not permit slavery. It was illegal. So it's interesting. You have the Tejanos and the Texians who are wanting the same thing, ultimately, which is that Texas independence. Did you ever, in your research, ever come across that conflict maybe between the Tejanos wanting that independence and the Texians and ultimately the U.S. wanting to expand into slavery in the research that you've done with Texas Tejano?
There's always been encomedias, arrangements, if you will, within the civilian population, because it's been cited that the Tejanos also endorsed slavery and that they had slaves. And there's got to be a real understanding that the domestic employment under the encomedia, or where there's an indentureship, if you will. Well, how did the general public think about things? These people are going to bring slavery here, and we don't accept, endorse slavery. That's wrong. So that's that part of it. And then there's the part of Tejanos that have been here now for several generations, are trying to eke out the development of Texas, build an economy, build a military, educate their children. And they know that without additional population growth, they ain't going to happen. So the leaders, Tejano leaders, like Jose Antonio Navarro, like Juan Seguin, understand that there's a need for additional population growth. And they meet with the likes of Moses Austin, who's an entrepreneur and would-be impresario. He comes with the plan of bringing American families to Texas. And Navarro crafts law to circumvent the law of no slavery by putting a term on the use of, basically on the use of slavery, that it's just more an accommodation, and they'll no longer be slaves. But ultimately, in 1830, Mexico is not having it anymore, and they're going to close the border, and you're going to be an illegal alien. So you still have a steady stream of illegal aliens coming into Texas, and they're going to set up shop.
And they're white.
And they're Anglo. they're the predominantly the men and women from the southern states that are coming here. So those enterprising people will come into Texas, set up a farm, bring slaves with them. That's as best as I think that I could describe what was happening on the ground in that era.
If you can tell us what Texas Tejano is doing to commemorate, what events you have coming up to commemorate this 25th anniversary you're celebrating.
So this year we planned some events, if you will, to celebrate the part and role that the Tejanos played in the Texas Revolution. We also have a May function. It's a reception where we'll continue to memorialize the Tejanos and their roles, not just from the revolutionary period, but also the men and women and the story of the Tejanos at the Alamo, for example, and the role that they played, a strong role in developing our society and our culture, et cetera. So that's going to be in May. We'd like to have a candlelight vigil inside the Alamo to commemorate Tejanos in September. And September, as we all know, is National Hispanic Heritage Month. So we've also focused on having what we call a mini conference exhibit / luncheon at the Briscoe Museum, who have become partners with us for these several events that we're hosting or they're hosting. We'll have all our exhibits, maybe not all of them, but at least two or three of them on display, artifacts, documents, portraits. So we're real excited we get a chance to do that, and we're planning for next year. We've got some opportunities that are coming our way. By the way, I think we'll be publishing a biography on Jose Policarpo Poli Rodriguez this year. We're talking with publishers right now.
Rudy Rodriguez is the founder and president of Texas Tejano, a group celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Texas Tejano will celebrate a quarter century with a special reception May 21st at San Antonio's Briscoe Western Art Museum. The state of Texas has acknowledged September as Tejano History Month thanks to the efforts of Texas Tejano, and the organization will mark the occasion with a mini conference and lunch at the Briscoe. Texas Tejano will use the September event to gift a school district Tejano teaching materials for 4th and 7th grades. Find out more about Texas Tejano's educational programs and exhibits at texastejano.com. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marian Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Kekwa composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.